has got a wonderful plan for your life. And guess what? It can start today. You don't have to wait another day for God's plan and His will to come to pass in your life. You don't have to wait another day. It is a word away. It is a faith step away. It is a faith statement away from God's perfect plan and will to be executed in your life. It doesn't have to wait another day. It doesn't have to wait another moment. Do not let what the world says or the enemy say take any more ground in your life. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. In Jesus, not only take back what you was stolen from you, but take more ground. See that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Ah, God's got wonderful things today for us. I know it. I know it. It's not just a faith statement, church. God gave me things this morning through the sermon that it's like, oh God, I didn't even see that. I've never seen that before. That's so wonderful, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for revealing truth to me. Revelation knowledge that I never saw before. That's where we must be, church, is at a place of, I don't know it all. There's more that you have for me, Lord. Holy Ghost, show it. Reveal it to me. Reveal your truth to me today. Amen. 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 Before I get into my message, we're going to receive the offering this morning. How many of you are ready to give? Amen. 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 Because giving breaks the back of poverty. Amen. Giving will allow God to move on your behalf to break the very power of the enemy off your finances. Amen. Amen. And when you give by faith, that there's nothing the enemy can do. When you release something to God and put it in the Father's hand, there's nothing the enemy can do about it. But when you hold back what is God's, that's where the enemy can operate. So really, your blessing is in your giving, not in your holding. Your blessing is in your releasing. Amen. Just like faith without works is dead, when you step by faith into something, you are literally telling the enemy and all demonic principalities and powers that God is your supply, God is your source, God is your victor, God is your answer. And when you do that, when you step, there's no way you can stay where you were because you stepped with God. Finances work the same way. Proverbs 10:22 says this, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." And you're like, well, you sure that's talking about finances? Yes, it's talking about finances, but it's talking about a lot more than finances. It's talking about the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's written in his word. It's written in his word. The blessing. The word blessing there is prosperity and liberality. The prosperity or the blessing of the Lord, the blessing from God, makes one rich. So the blessing of God does not make one poor. So your giving will not make you poor. Amen. Your serving the Lord will not make you poor. I know that's hard for people because they look at the church and they think the church is poor. No, that's not the blessing of the Lord. That's a lie of the enemy. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, wealthy, amen, sustainable, the blessing of the Lord. So we have to ask ourselves, do we want the blessing of the Lord? Yes, because it makes one rich. And what's the word sorrow mean? Pain, hurt, or hardship. The blessing of the Lord will never bring hardship to you. People have a hard time receiving this. The blessing of the Lord does not make things more difficult. It makes things easier. Amen. Whether it's with finances, whether it's with time. Did you know the Lord can redeem the time? He can literally make more happen in a shorter amount of time than you could ever do in your own power. That's the blessing of the Lord. Amen. This principle works in every area of your life. Where you put the Lord, The blessing is there, and it makes you wealthy in that area. How many of you realize or have experienced that when you applied your faith in an area and trusted God fully in an area, that area was a lot less stressful?
Amen.
Why? Because you gave it to the Lord, and the Lord is showing you how to handle the situation. When you handle a situation in your own power, that's when the pain, the hurt, and the hardship take place. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. When you give it to the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, faith pulls on heaven, brings God in the midst of your situation, and that makes it rich. That makes it blessed, and it adds zero sorrow. So when sorrow comes, when hardship comes, it's not from God. Hardship is not from God. That's anti-Bible. That's the belief system of a false humility. Amen. The blessing of the Lord maketh one rich and adds no hardship, no hurt. It is not a burden to come to church.
Come on.
Oh, my gas money. I don't have a lot of gas money. That's a lie of the enemy.
Come on.
The blessing of the Lord. God tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why would he tell us to do something and make it difficult?
Come on.
I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I'm telling you right now, some of you are like, man, I know what he's saying is true, but I'm having a hard time receiving it. Yeah, we've all been there. And all of us are dealing with situations where we take this scripture and like, I got the victory in this area, but this area I'm not sure about.
Yeah.
What is that?
Come on.
That's a knowledge of the truth in that area. Knowledge is power. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. So you can take this scripture and apply it to your finances, but miss it when it talks to your service for God. The blessing of the Lord. God has covenant with marriage. Marriage is a God-ordained covenant. A helpmate, a wife, a husband is not a burden or a pain. You're just doing it wrong. If your spouse is irritating you, you are looking in the wrong direction. You are trying to operate in an area where the blessing of the Lord is not in. Hey, I'm telling you, here at New Freedom, we'll preach the truth, even if it makes you, I'm telling you, I feel the, I'm telling you, you're trying to shift gears, and you're like, I can't find the next gear that feels, so, I want to go in that direction, I'm going forward, but it's like, I'm holding on to my past. You can't shift in the second if you hold it in first. I've tried. Anyway. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. I'm telling you, tithing, giving to God is one of the hardest things for people to understand and release of. Wealth is a hard thing to release of. I don't want to go to that scripture, but I may later on. But I want you to say, God is not going to make things more difficult on you. Ever. Ever. The difficulty comes when we start out in God and try to fulfill it in our flesh. That's when the difficulty, you start out in the spirit, as Paul says, and you try to fulfill it in the flesh. God called me to be a pastor, called me into ministry, but then if I try to do it in my own power, that's when it becomes hard. And that's when burnout comes. Burnout is exactly opposite of what Scripture says. If God called me to be a pastor, he's definitely equipped me and graced me to stand in that place. This isn't hard up here. This is very fun up here. This is exciting to study the Word, dig in the Word, and release the Word like God has called me to do. And it's very easy to talk to people that are against the church and like, oh, no, I'll talk to you because God has graced me to talk in that situation.
Yeah,
right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. The blessing, think about it in your own life. This isn't my message today, but it's there now. Think in your own life, areas that are difficult. Why are they difficult?
Yeah.
Are they difficult because of persecution for my faith? Are they difficult because of my decision to do it in my own power? Because I think I know what's best. Oh, I've done it. I've done it in many areas where I think I know what's best for my finances, and the Lord wasn't in it at all. And it was hard. I've actually put money places I shouldn't have put money and lost the money. You say, oh my golly, Pastor, that's so sad. That was my fault. Don't feel bad for me. Just pray for me that I get knowledge of God's word. Ask the Lord to do it instead of doing it and then asking the Lord to bless it. That's what makes it difficult.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I want to do this, and I'm going to do this. Be with me. What is that? That's you doing it in your own power, asking God to honor what your decision is. That's the problem. But nobody wants to say that because that's too difficult for people to hear. Come on. All you got to do is ask God, Lord, what do you have for me to do? Lord, lay it on my heart. What should I give today? What is my offering today? Not what is in my wallet and what I think I can do. Ask the Lord what he'd have you do. This is very light to me. This is very fun to me. But I know it's speaking to people. Because we have a tendency to operate within first and then ask God to operate through it. We got the cart ahead of the horse, folks. Amen. The horse has to go first. That's the power supply. You put the cart first, you got a serious problem. Amen. You got a problem. You can't steer anything. You can't do anything. And you wonder why things are dead in the water. It's because the cart's ahead of the horse. Put the power supply in the front. Let Almighty God be a part. Drive and empower your life. And empower your finances. What is tithing and giving doing? That's putting the power of God first in your finances. Instead of you doing your financing and giving your leftover to God. That's putting the horse behind the cart. Is God being last in the financial realm. Hey, we're going to get to our message. I can tell you guys are all givers and I love you. This church is truly blessed. I'm saying this out of my spirit, not towards New Freedom. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying this to get something from you or do it. I just want you to be able to see what God's word says.
Amen.
To get revelation and understanding and knowledge. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich.
Amen.
Makes one rich. In every area is the blessing of the Lord. Every area that you dwell in, your job, your business, your marriage, your family, the ministry God has for you is rich. Because the blessing of the Lord is on it.
Amen.
Every area, every decision you make, if you put God in it, it's blessed. And it's rich.
Amen.
Your decision to come to church today is going to be a blessing to your life.
Amen.
Amen. You will be different than when you came in. Amen.
Amen.
You're going out of here better than you came.
Amen.
Some of you are going out of here healed and you came in pain. In Jesus' name. Why? Because your ability to say, you know what? God's first in my life. I'm going to not forsake the assembling of ourselves. I'm going to come to church. And I'm going to be a part of my church family. Because I have something to give.
Amen.
Amen. And it's so good to see all your pretty faces today.
Amen.
Amen. But you're going to leave here better than when you came. Because there's no way that would cause God. That would say God's a liar. If you leave heavier than when you came, that's anti-Bible. When you go to church, it should be better. Any church service should be better after than when you came. Even if you come and you get serious conviction from the message, you're still better off than when you came. Because you have knowledge to start operating in faith to believe God better than where you were than when you came. Even if it hasn't manifested itself, it's still better knowing the truth than not knowing it at all.
Do
you understand what I'm saying? Everywhere you go, every time you open your Bible, you should be at a better place.
Amen.
Reading your Bible than when you started reading.
Amen.
See, people don't look at conviction that way. They look at conviction of, like, I did things wrong and I'm not doing good enough. That's not conviction at all. Conviction is the Holy Ghost speaking to your spirit to say, God's saying, I got something better. I have something better for you. Where you are is not the best. I have something better. Start walking with me in this area. Amen. Amen. So the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow. So a little bit of sorrow? No. None. No sorrow. No sorrow. So when you give this morning, don't have a sorrowful heart. That's not God. What does God say? God loves a what giver? Cheerful. That's exuberant, happy, like jump out of your chair. I can't wait for the offering. When are the ushers going to get it? Stop talking, Pastor. I'm ready to give to God. That's a cheerful giver. Why? Because you know there's a blessing in your giving. It's going to be better. You're going to receive more by giving than not giving. Every service my wife and I go to, whether it, even if it's not New Freedom, we'll give. We'll sow into it. Amen. Because we know when we release it, there's something better coming. Just like when you pray in faith, you know it's going to be better than when you started praying. Amen. That's faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ushers, get up here. Amen. I didn't mean it that way. Come on up, you lovely men of God. Serve the people. Amen. Cheerful giver. Everything is positive with God. There's not one thing negative with God. Ever. Ever. Jesus, help me. Help our unbelief. Help our unbelief, Lord, that we can believe the truth, and the truth will make us free. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow. Let me read this scripture while they're collecting the offering. 3 John. There's only one chapter, so it's verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Just as your soul prospers. God wants prosperity for you to thrive in every area of your life. There's not one area that he looks at like this. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? That thou may prosper, thou may thrive in all things. In health. Amen. So if he wants us to prosper in our soul, he wants us to prosper in our health, why do you think, doesn't it make sense to prosper in your finances too? Amen. Why would God be like, I want you to thrive here, I want you blessed here, I want you blessed here, but money, nope. I want you poor, broke, and dumb. No. God wants you to prosper across the board. Everything you touch. God will bless what you put your hand to. Amen. So if God has a business laid on your heart and you put your hand to it and you put your heart into it and you don't deny God in it and you put God in it, guess what? That business is going to thrive. Amen. When other businesses are failing. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm speaking to business owners, people that own property, own businesses. I'm telling you right now, God is the answer that's going to pull you through the storm of the financial and economic woes that we're going through. God is the one. The blessing of the Lord maketh one rich. Put God in your business. It's what's going to carry you through. Put God in your marriage. That's what's going to carry you through. The struggle is a struggle because we're not allowing God to carry us through. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I'm telling you, I'm building faith in you, church. You're going to see it. You see it. Amen. Don't look with the eyes of your flesh. Don't look with what you see. See it with the eyes of faith. Amen. You're victorious. You're an overcomer. Amen. Amen. Why? Because you're a child of God. And the blessing of the Lord is upon your life. Amen. I know you won't hear this message other places around here. But I'm not worried about other places around here. I'm worried about each one of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just bow your heads. Not just bow your heads. Close your eyes, bow your heads, and release your faith like you've never released it before. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I thank you that this body, those listening online, they join together with us, Lord God, for your perfect will, not just your good and permissive will, but your perfect will to be done in our lives, Lord God. That your perfect will to be done in our finances, in business, in what we put our hand to, Lord God. I thank you that we do not put our hand to anything that you do not put your hand with us. Let nothing be done out of our flesh, Lord, but let it be done through you. And Father, I thank you that your blessing upon our lives and families makes us rich and adds no sorrow. We declare that scripture over our lives, that your blessing is upon us. We will prosper. We will be in health. We will carry on till you come for us, Lord. And we will lack no good thing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. If you believe that prayer, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. God is so good. If you guys aren't awake yet, we're going to work on that. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh. Shifting gears. Thank you for joining us online. I didn't thank those online. Are you happy to be here, church? Amen. I'm happy you're here too. It would be pretty boring preaching to chairs. Amen. I'm so glad you're here today. Because I feel your faith. I sense your faith, your hunger, your thirst for God. I'm serious. Like when I walk, I feel a pull, like a tug, a desire and a hunger for more of God. It's a power. It's power. It's wonderful. There's one thing to minister under the anointing and the presence of God, but there's another thing when the congregation is pulling, when the congregation is desiring more of God. Some of you are sitting there this morning, and you prayed this morning for words or breakthrough, something to shift big in your life. And you came today asking the Lord, Lord, I need answers to what I'm going through. You're going to get them today. You're going to get them. God hears your cry. God hears your cry. It's not in my message. It's in the Spirit. And if you, by faith, you're going to receive it. I'm in agreement with your prayer. You say, well, you don't know exactly what, I don't need to know. I don't need to know exactly everybody's need. We just combine together knowing the one who does. He hears your cry. Amen. He hears your cry. Hallelujah. There's a presence here. Hallelujah. The last few months, probably about a month now, I've had a strong desire to minister on hearing the voice of God. And I'm going to start studying on that again. On hearing God's voice, being able to recognize, is this God, is this not God? Is this the Holy Ghost, or is this just my mind, will, and emotions? Those types of things. Hearing the divine words from heaven to know what His will and purpose is for our lives in a big scale and even in day-to-day living. All right? So I'm going to do a series on that at some point in time this year in Jesus' name. If Jesus tarries, it's going to happen. But as I was pressing into that, this is what the Lord said. To be able to hear, for them to be able to hear my voice, they have to understand me as supreme authority. They have to know that I'm the authority. That's what will open them up to hear my voice. That's what He said to me. And I'm like, okay, Lord, that means authority has to come first. Before hearing the voice of God in my teaching and what God has for me. They must know that what they're hearing is supreme authority. Not something out here, not something over here, not something between these two ears, but hearing from the Spirit of God, from heaven, they have to, when they hear it, they have to fully know that that's from God and that's full authority. Because if you don't take God as your final and full authority, you will be tossed to and fro. You won't be able to hear clearly. You will not be able to walk straight in what God has for you if you're wishy-washy whether God's the authority or not. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just speaking in the natural. You should be able to hear. He who has ears to hear, hear. Amen.
Amen.
But we must be able to hear the voice of God. Because there's many voices out there. There's other authorities out there, but there's none like God. And you must know God is the supreme authority. So that's, I'm going to keep teaching on authority till I get a release. And that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go into hearing the voice of God. But I cannot release till we get this understanding and the Spirit of God releases me. I'm sharing that with you because I'm sharing my heart. I know I can hear God. I know what He wants to do. But when He gives me a check to say, hold on, because hearing the voice of God, that teaching will not hit where it needs to hit till authority is understood. Till authority is understood. And I want to just encourage you, in your own life, you have to realize what's authority to you. Things have to be prioritized and put in authority to be able to walk with God. To be able to walk with God. I know this isn't going to like pull in millions of people. That's an awesome message. But when you understand authority, you put yourself in an awesome place.
Amen.
You are in a place separated from the world.
Yeah.
When you're in a place submitted to authority. God is everything to you.
Amen.
And everything else means nothing.
Yeah.
You are fully surrendered. You are fully yielded to all that God has. In your prayers, it's not my will, Lord, it's your will be done. My finances, they're not my finances. I'm a steward of everything because everything is yours. Everything. My marriage is not mine, it's yours, Lord. Everything. When you are able to submit to authority, you'll hear God's voice very clearly. Very clearly. Why? Because when you understand authority, amen, you push away all the other voices. So you can automatically hear. If everybody here is talking at the same time, and I make a decision that I'm going to leave this building and go out in the woods where there's nobody talking, if one person talks, I can hear them very clearly. Boom, just like that. They don't even have to yell. Why? Because it's not competing. There's not competing voices. See, what happens is if we're not surrendered to authority and we're allowing other things to speak and take the place of God's authority, multiple talking. It's hard to hear. Is that God? I don't know if that's God. Because I'm so concerned about my job. I'm so concerned about this. I'm so concerned about these things. See, things speak to you even though they're not verbal.
Yeah, that's true.
Things will speak to you even though they're not verbal. When you look at your finances and it doesn't look good, that'll be speaking to you. When you lay down your head at night and you're wondering and concerned about your finances. It'll be speaking to you even though the banker is not in your bedroom or the bill collector is not in your bedroom saying, Lacey, it's time to pay. That's not what I'm saying. Thoughts, those are voices. Voices of the enemy. Lies of the enemy. See, when you understand authority, you realize the enemy is a liar. He's a thief. And he has no power. So what he's saying means nothing. He's talking to himself because you're not listening. If I have conversation with my wife, and I don't do this, but if I decided to just tone her out, guess what? She can talk all day long, but I'm not listening. What are you listening to? When you understand authority, you only want to hear one voice. Listen to me. When you understand authority from God to hear His voice, you'll know when people you're talking to know God and hear His voice.
Yeah.
Or you have people that are just talking to talk and God's not in what they're saying.
Yeah.
And people wonder why some conversations, I'll work with you a long time. And don't judge this between you and me in a conversation if I had to leave. I don't mean it that way. But if someone is putting their time in with God, the Spirit of God is going to tell me they're serious about this.
Yeah.
They're working on this. They're working through this. And I'll go toe-to-toe with you. I'll work with you if you're willing to allow God to work with you. But if you're saying no to God and you want me to carry you, the time is not going to be spent there. Because the Lord's saying, I can't carry you by myself. Nor do I want to. Nor was I designed to. Amen. People don't see that and because they don't understand authority. If someone is not putting God first, they're putting something else in his place. Yeah. And if you're putting something else like money in the place of God, someone can come to the church and say, I'll give you $1 million, but you need to do this, this, and this. I don't care what you want to give me. If God is not on what you're doing and God didn't tell you to do that, I don't want it. I don't want it because God's not in it. You understand what I mean? I know that may be foreign to you, but if we took money from the government because of COVID, they would tell us what we can and can't do because money is attached to everything. And whatever you attach your money to, you're attached to that spirit. Amen. I know this may be foreign to you, but I'm telling you, this will give you your breakthrough. Some of you may be putting time and money into things that God's not in at all. Yeah. Amen. You're like, where's all my money go? It's going to the world and the works of the devil. Amen. Oh me. Hallelujah. You'll get breakthrough. I'm not saying you. If it's you, it's you. If it's not you, don't worry about it. Ask the Lord. But to understand authority, we have to realize the other voices are just talking heads. If God tells me to do something, and then another believer tells me the same thing I heard from God, confirmation. But if God speaks to me and somebody else is like, you should do it this way, but God said another way, love you. No. Yes, God. Do you see the difference? But you got to have him as authority. You got to spend time with him to hear him. How do you spend time with God? Make time. God made time for you. He sent his son to die for you. So you're seated in heavenly places. Do you know you're that close to God as a believer? You're seated right next to him in heaven. People are running all over the world to find God. God's right on the inside of you. That's authority. That's understanding your authority. I can enter into the throne room. You, each one of you, can enter in and talk to God personally yourselves. Oh, I need to talk to the pastor. You don't understand authority. You don't have to come to me to talk to God. You're a child. I don't have to go to my brother to talk to my dad. How dumb would that be? I love my brother. I love my dad. But I'm going to talk to my dad if I need to talk to my dad. Not vicariously through my brother. Hey, if you have time, brother, can you ask dad this? No. I'll call my dad and ask him myself. We laugh. Doesn't that sound funny? Yeah. But we do it spiritually all the time. I need to talk to the pastor. I need to talk to somebody. Like you're trying to because you don't understand authority. I'm not bashing. I'm trying to get you to breakthrough where it's easier than what you're making it. When you understand authority, life is easy. When I stand here and I worship God, praise God, it's me and God. I don't have to go to a worship leader, help me praise God. No, I praise God myself. I need to go to some special intercessory prophetic meeting. No, I can get it directly from God. Not saying God doesn't have those things and use those things, but that's not, when it comes to authority, you. Sure, there's authorities in the natural. That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about authority as a child of God. You're seated in heavenly places. You are right in the exact spot you need to be to hear God's voice. If you're seated next to God in heavenly places, he shouldn't have to yell to you. He shouldn't have to send all of his angels to clear out the muck and the myrrh in between you. It's you. cleaning out all the other voices so you can hear the one sitting on your heart. How much closer can God get to a believer if he's living on the inside? But we're going to outside voices above. I'm supposed to be talking about authority. Why are you doing this to me? I'm supposed to be talking about authority, not hearing from God. Lord, amen. Jesus, help me. Let me read a scripture. That always fixes everything. Matthew 28, 18. Authority. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just because, listen to me, I'm just giving you a prime example of authority. Even ministering the word of God, I can feel something or I can sense something and I can go in that direction, but that may not be where the Lord's taking us. Because he said to me, teach on authority. So if I feel, let's talk about hearing the voice of God, and I go with that, it's disobeying what he's told me to do. So that's why I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go back to the pulpit, and I'm going to read a verse. Because that's what the Lord told me to do. Even though I felt, hey, this feels good ministering on this, it's not for today. It's not for today. I have to respect what he told me to do. Matthew 28, I'm giving you an example, a literal example on how to understand authority. If God says it, till he says something else, do the first thing he said to do. If something starts feeling good a certain way, don't be moved by your feelings. Because God might want you to stay in that vein. He obviously does if he hadn't shared more with you. Till you get the peace and the breakthrough of that situation, then he'll share more with you. The thing is, we hear something, we get excited, and we just take off running like this. And we're running blindly. We don't really know where we just got excited about something. Yeah. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah. Excitement is not always God.
Come on.
Sorry to burst your bubble. But excitement is not always God. God may be you be in the trenches at 2 o'clock in the morning praying something out. When your flesh is tired as anything, you got to go to work the next morning. But the Lord has you up pursuing something in prayer.
Yeah.
If the Lord's speaking to you to do that, you need to obey that.
Yeah.
But what's easier? I ate too much cheese. I'm going back to bed. Or I drank too much water and it woke me up. No, the Lord woke you up to do his business.
Amen.
To do his business. And we have to respect and honor that. Amen. Because when you respect and honor, amen, that authority in that moment, he's going to give you more understanding and more authority.
Amen.
He's going to pour more out to you. Because you're faithful with little, he'll make you ruler over much. The greatest to me personally, I can't necessarily give you a scripture on this, Dave Patterson translation here, so don't take it as doctrine. But one of the greatest areas to be promoted is understanding authority. Understanding authority. When you understand authority in a business and you respect authority, that'll promote you about quicker than anything. Because what when you do your work unto the Lord, you do a good job every time. There's not a bad day doing work because you're working unto the Lord. You're not working unto man. Man's just blessed because you're working to the Lord. You see what I'm saying? Amen. Some of you are looking at me like I got two heads. You'll get it. In Jesus' name, you'll get it. Matthew 28, 18. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. It's probably New King James, which is fine. You can read it up there. But Amplified says this. Jesus came up and said to them, the disciples, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That is one of the most powerful statements out there to the disciples. Jesus himself said these words to the disciples, and he's saying them to the disciples today. You must understand all authority, all power and absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Jesus has supreme authority in heaven and in earth. So there's no room for other authority.
Yeah.
There is authority, but it's not in the same realm That's like saying, the devil, Satan's the god of this world. Yeah, he can be the god of this world, but the time's coming when his little authority and rulership is going to be finalized. Yeah. You understand? His only authority is in the people that don't understand their authority in God. Right. Do you understand? Yes. His authority is limited because Jesus came and whooped his little butt. Yeah. And the authority that we, the church, have, we took ground because of Jesus. So every believer that has Jesus and walks with Jesus and uses the name of Jesus has wiped away the god of this world's authority. Do you understand? When Jesus went to the mountain, he was tempted. He says, I'll give you this. He could say that. In Matthew 4, he could say, I'll give you all this. Just worship me. No, Jesus knew his authority was in the scripture and said, it is written. That was his authority. So Jesus didn't give away ground. Jesus took ground for the church to walk in. And when you see that and understand that, you don't spend time with the devil. Oh, let's go fight the devil. What are you doing? You don't understand authority. I know this is shocking people's theology. It's just totally messing people up because they've been taught we got to go war with the enemy. We got to go beat back darkness. What do you mean? You're the light. Light expels darkness. Wherever you go, darkness has to flee. Isn't that what the Bible says?
Yes.
Submit to God, resist the devil, and he flees. They think resisting is fighting. Resisting isn't fighting. Resisting is just saying, God's my authority. I'm submitted to him, and that's the way it is.
Amen.
Your submit to God is what we need to be doing. The resisting of the enemy is just not giving him any place. Not giving them any time, not listening to any lies, not doing anything that the enemy's operating in the world. You understand what I'm saying? But people take resisting the enemy. It's like, we're going to battle with the enemy. We're fighting him. We're going to go to prayer and we're going to push him back. He's defeated. What do you need to push back? He's under your feet. I know. I'm telling you. I see it on your face. You're like, is it that easy? Yes. Submit to God. Submit to his authority. Get underneath God's authority in the secret place, and he's your refuge. He's your strength.
Amen.
Amen. His hand and his arm just do all the work for you. They just bring all the blessing right in, and you're right there feasting at the table. This is authority. People don't understand this truth. That your life is a whole lot easier if you're not trying to fight the devil. You're fighting a battle that's already won. Can you imagine like going to battle in a field and you're like this ready to fight. You have your gun. You got everything. And the whole other army is arrested on their knees. Already defeated. Already locked up. And you're like, oh, we're going to beat them. What are you doing? You're fighting a battle that's already won. You're wasting your time. You're doing exactly what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to fight a battle that's already been won. He wants you to waste your time fighting something that's already done. Can you see what I'm saying? When we understand authority, there's a lot of things we're wasting our time with that are already taken care of. Amen. We go trying to beg God for things that are already done. Right?
Yeah.
Some of you get what I'm saying. Lord, help me in these needs. My God shall supply all of your needs.
Yeah.
So why are we begging God for our needs to be met when they're already supplied? That's like saying, I need to go to the grocery store, but my freezer and my refrigerator are packed full, but I need more. You don't understand that you got everything you have need of. It's all in the secret place. If this doesn't get you happy, I know you're trying to get happy, but your flesh is like, is it really that easy? Yes, it's that easy. That's why children are so free. They understand. All they got to do is say, God says he loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. They just take that as authority. The Bible says, amen. Jesus is my Savior. Hallelujah. I don't need any other Savior. I don't need to try to save myself. Jesus already did it. I'm telling you, I can really work on something. That literally goes right against religion. Jesus has defeated these things. Jesus made the way in these areas. For by grace you are saved. Stop trying to work and try to earn your salvation. It's already provided. People are labor their whole life to try to get in God's good graces when God gave grace as a gift. It's already there, open for you. The grace of God is available for everybody. But we're trying to labor to earn good graces. I can't preach it any better or easier. I don't know what else to say. I'm telling you, it's right there. It's like if this bag was a $1 million, all you need to do is come up and receive it. There's not a million in here, by the way, because I already got it if there is. But it's that easy. The gift is here. You just got to receive it. Not go fight back there. Not try to compete with other Christians to get your blessing. Oh, there's another area. The Bible says your gift makes room for you. So if your gift that God has placed in you makes room for you, all you need to do is walk in your gift and the room is made.
Amen.
We're trying to get positions. Oh man, if I can talk to the pastor, maybe I can sit on the front row, by golly. It's more holy up there. Now, I guarantee you, somebody full of faith sitting in the back, even sitting in their car. We've had people sitting in deer stands and receive when we did the tent meeting. Sitting in a deer stand in the woods, we're preaching the gospel. They start coming to church. Amen. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. So if faith is released back there, they're getting way more. It's sailing right over the religious person sitting in the front. You guys aren't religious? Amen. Amen. I shouldn't have to say it. You should know. Amen. Amen. If we're trying to seek a position in a fleshly way, the blessing of the Lord maketh man rich and adds what? No sorrow. So sorrow is forcing something in our own power. That's not the grace of God. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift. Of works, lest any man should boast. We don't have to boast. I don't have to send out cards. I'm a pastor. Right? I don't have to go on Facebook and tell everybody, well, this is my ministry. This is what I do. No, I go. Faith without works. I show people my faith by my works when I go do chaplain. People know where I stand. And I talk to people. And there's people that know the Lord and are like, I see God all over you. And I was like, praise God, I see God all over you. Let's have a church session right now. We pray and we have church, we fellowship, we laugh, and we give all the glory to God, and we have a fun time. Amen. But there's other people, I pray with them, and I speak life and scripture over their life to encourage them and bless them. And I show them the goodness of God because He's my authority. He's my everything. And I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just saying, just go and do what the Bible says to do.
Yeah.
Amen. Your gift makes room for you. You don't have to promote yourself to man. Just give your life to God.
Yeah.
I ought to make a shirt. Stop promoting yourself to man. Stop trying to prove yourself to man. Just submit your life to God. That's authority. It's easier. It's easier to just get underneath God, trust God, than it is to try to formulate and work things out. Isn't it much easier to believe God for a situation than it is to go labor it? To me, it's much easier to give 10% and be obedient to what God's word says than work for a year and try to earn enough money. I'm not against work. Don't take it that way. All right? But there's a better way. There's a better way. Jesus came up and said to them, all authority. You know what authority is? Authority is delegated power. If you want to understand authority, authority is delegated. It's power released from the one that has the power to give it. Okay? So if someone If someone came in here and says, well, I'm going to preach behind the pulpit and I'm an apostle, well, that's wonderful what you think you are, but you don't have the authority here and I'm not delegating it to you. Amen. Why? Because I'm protecting you guys. I'm protecting the anointing. Amen. I don't want to have to deal with people saying stupid stuff and some dumb doctrine because they think they're Superman or Superwoman. Okay? I know I'm getting kind of on a tangent here, but I want you to understand something. There's authority in places you have to understand and respect the authority. And the pastor is the authority in the local church. Even if you're an apostle for 50 years, if you're not in relationship and fellowship with the pastor of the local church, or you're an evangelist called of God, and you think you can just go run, what do they say, run roughshod? Is that what they, yeah, you just think you can go wherever you want to go, do whatever you want to do? I'm telling you, you're in the wrong place. You're not submitted to authority. You're not submitted to authority. So I'm touching on areas because I want you to understand something. This is so big. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. The head of the church has supreme authority over heaven and earth. Jesus. So why don't we go to Jesus for everything? Because he's got the authority. He's got the power. He's got the ability. He's got the know-how. He's got all wisdom for every situation. The Holy Spirit only does what he's told to do. So the Holy Spirit lives in us. So why don't we go to the Holy Ghost for every question we have? But yet religion doesn't want the Holy Spirit. But that's the very thing that's going to teach them, comfort them, and guide them in every situation. Amen. Just because authority, get this now, authority does not mean physical power. Because the Holy Spirit's a perfect gentleman. And he will not go and do things that he's not told to do or given the right to enter. Your free will has authority over or power over the Holy Spirit. You can say, I don't want the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You ain't getting the Holy Spirit. Because you have that authority to say that. God gave you free will. You can say, I don't want Jesus. You won't have Jesus. But the moment you ask for Jesus and you believe in Jesus, you have authority that supersedes every other authority out there. That's that. How much power is in the power of decision and the power of confession? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. All of a sudden, all of heaven, all of earth, total authority is implanted in your life, in your heart, in that moment. That's powerful, church. That's powerful. The head of the church, amen, has all authority. Nothing on earth has the authority comparable to what Jesus has. Nothing. Let me give you another scripture here. Luke 10:19, Amplified says, listen carefully. I have given you authority. This is Jesus speaking. I have given you authority. King James says power, but it's really authority. Delegated power. That you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions. The ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing will in any way harm you. So if there's anything that you think, feel, or notice that is going to harm you, if you're submitted to Jesus, it cannot touch you. Because Jesus will not allow it to touch you. Amen. So when you understand where sickness and disease come from, they ain't not touching me. In Jesus' name. You say, well, I feel this. Well, is your feeling more authority than what God is in your life? I know I'm preaching, I'm hitting things that people don't want to realize. But if you want breakthrough and you want to live in divine health, divine healing, and every one of your needs met, you must submit to Jesus Christ because he's the full authority. But if you go in the realm of the world, you open yourself up to other authorities that will operate in your life. So every time I go back in my own personal life and ask myself, am I fully surrendered and submitted to Jesus in this area? If I'm having a problem. And it always comes back. There's revelation or knowledge that I need more of to get underneath Jesus to get the breakthrough in that area. It's never God missed it. It's always I missed it. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about myself. So I'm not being judgmental. I'm not being mean. I am literally talking in my own life. If there's areas that I do not have revelation or I'm struggling in, the reason it is, I'm not submitted to authority. I do not have full understanding or knowledge or revelation of that matter. Because if the Word of God says it, it's a finished work. I know this is final authority. I know the beginning from the end. And if I'm not seeing it, there's something that I am missing. That's authority. That's understanding authority. Because if I start blaming God, you're out of authority. You just missed it. When you blame God for something that's going wrong, God doesn't bring wrong. God's never wrong. I'm telling you, Lord, this is the key that'll unlock heaven in your life. I'm going to pass over. I know we're going to minister on authority, but let's go to Matthew 16. CJ, this wasn't the scripture I was going to today. I haven't got to where I was going, but here we go. Matthew 16, 13. When you understand authority, it will unlock every area. Because guess what? Understand this. If you have the key to something, you have the authority to it. Right. He who has the key to a lock has the authority to it. Right. Amen? Even if this key was stolen, if somebody stole the key to a safe and they had the key, they may not have God's divine authority, but they have a realm of authority to open that lock because they have the key. Here's the thing I want you to understand. That through God, you have the key to every area. But if you relinquish that key and you give it to somebody else, like the enemy, then he has the key to areas in your life. And he does have the authority to run over you. Remember when I said authority isn't always physical? It isn't physical. I want you to grit that in your spirit. Because that will allow you to live your life not operating in the physical realm to get the victory. Right. All through Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, you read story after story after story where it was underdog, underdog, underdog in every situation. They were the weak link. They were nothing compared to what they were going against. Moses, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Joshua, Jacob, Jesus, Paul, all of them. David, with Goliath, underdog, not his own physical power. So I want to encourage you, if you're going through something and you're like, physically, it looks impossible, you're biblical. You're right where you need to be. It's not you that can do it anyway. You say, well, my finances, I've been working and working, and I'm not seeing the breakthrough. The pastor's talking about it. You're right where you need to be. That's why you need to exercise faith and trust God. To do the heavy lifting. Yeah. To give you the stones in the sling to take the Goliath down. Amen. To march around 7 times and speak to that wall and watch it come down. To strike that water and watch it split. All through the Bible, you see time and time again where men and women of God did not have, Gideon did not have what he needed. So join the club if you're going through something and it looks impossible. Guess what? You're right where you need to be. God is a God of the impossible. Amen. He'll take that thing and he'll slay that giant. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I could go on for hours. The whole Bible is full of men and women of God that didn't have enough. But with God, they had all they had need of. All they had, some of you are going through things. You got what you need. You got Jesus. Hallelujah. You say, well, I don't know how it's going to work out. Don't worry about how it's going to work out. It'll work out. Amen. That's what makes life easier under authority. It'll work out. Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'll do what you tell me to do. If you want me to back away and not pursue this, I'll back away and let you handle the whole situation. There are times in my life where I had no ability. With my daughter's stroke, I had no answer to that. Bills when we were at Bible school. Our budget was red, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We didn't use much black ink. It was red. But guess what? I look at that red and I think, the blood of Jesus. He's going to deliver me from this. He called me here. He's going to deliver me out of it. I've answered the call. He's going to make the way. Amen. Hallelujah. You're here today answering the call. God's going to move mountains for you. Amen. That's the God we serve. And if you can take him and put him on the inside of you and trust him with all of your heart and submit to his authority, life is so much easier. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, King Nebuchadnezzar was there. You need to bow and worship me. You may be at a place where a bill collector is saying, you need to bow and worship me. What did they do? We're not going to bow. We're going to go right into the furnace. And guess who was with them? Jesus. Jesus was in the furnace with them. Daniel in the lion's den. Man, every single story in Scripture comes that starts that way. Where it looks like defeat. It looks like limitation. It looks like lack. It looks like impossible. Every single story. Even Jesus on the cross, dying for our sin. Impossible. If you were the Son of God, get off of this cross. I tell you, it would have been worse for Jesus if he got off of the cross. And it would have been worse for us if he got off of the cross. But he bared it. And he died. And he rose again so we could live. Amen. That resurrection power, the strongest power is death. And death has already been defeated. What are we concerned about, church? Really? Are we concerned about the gas prices? Really? When Jesus defeated death so you could live eternally with him, and we're concerned about gas prices or electric cars or the electric bill? Yeah, it's stinking hot out there. Hell's a whole lot hotter.
That's true.
You don't get relief. Am I turning into an evangelist today? Maybe. You don't get relief in hell. Just dip the finger in water. Touch my lips. Eternal torment. Eternal torment. Forever tormented. You think that's hot? Try to up it. And never have a break from it for eternity. That's hell. I'm concerned about my air conditioner on my bill this month. I'm telling you, church, we're going to have a lot of things coming our way. Now, I'm not prophesying that. That's just the way it is. We're in the end times. We got to get past the natural things and deal with the deeper things of God. Step out of the boat. There's another, Peter. Impossible. Jesus said, I bid you, come to me. Peter didn't say, well, man, the water's deep. It doesn't matter if it's 2 inches or 20 feet. Naturally, you're going to hit bottom. Naturally. But supernaturally, you'll walk on water. Do you know each one of you can walk on water? You say, well, let's go try it after. I don't mean that. I mean, your faith gives you the ability to walk on whatever the enemy's holding you back from. If you can see it, and if you can submit to it and resist the enemy, he'll flee. Many people submit, but they don't resist. They'll say yes, Jesus, but then they won't keep walking with Jesus. They'll say yes to God one time for fire insurance. Oh, I'm saved. I met Jesus 30 years ago, but I haven't done anything for Jesus since. You got to resist. You got to let your light shine. Hallelujah. Did you make Matthew 16 yet? Oh, man, That was way back a half hour ago. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, Matthew 16 is for another day. Philippians 2. And we'll finish on this. Thank you, Lord. Is this speaking to anybody? Is this helping you see some things? If anything, it should help you see that the answer is in the scripture. Because you say, well, you only read like 3 scriptures. Yeah, but I quoted like 15 or more. The answer is in the word. Knowledge is power. Amen. You want to understand authority? Get in your Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Philippians 2:13. New King James says it this way. Wait, is that the scripture I want? Yes. It says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Amplified says it this way. "For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you both to will and to work, that is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill his purpose for his good pleasure." God is effectively, actively working in each and every one of you right now for you to fulfill his good pleasure.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't feel God. Where does it say you got to feel God? I don't have the tinglies on my neck. I don't have the sweat beads. I don't feel the electricity flowing through. Don't worry about all that. Your gift makes room for you. God is there whether you feel it or not. He's your ever-present help in time of need. All authority in heaven and earth is living on the inside of you, effectively working in your spirit right now. If you can just say, I believe. I trust you that you're doing a good work in me. You're performing a good work in me. If you can get to the place of saying, you are working in me, Lord, effectively, actively, stirring in my heart, preparing me for such a time as this. You already know what the rest of the today is going to hold. You know what tomorrow and next week and next year. You know all things and you live in me. And you're working things out in me so I can handle everything that is before me and fulfill your perfect will in my life. Wow, that's authority. That's understanding. God loves you so much that he is actively working in you to protect you and provide for you all the days of your life. What a wonderful truth, church. NLT says it this way, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." The greater one, supreme authority, is working in you to affect you in such a way that you will be pleasing and hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." There's nothing you can't do, church. There's nothing too big for God. There's nothing he's not calling you that he will not equip you to do. You say, I have great plans. I have great business aspirations. Put the Lord in that. He's already working. If he gave you that desire to do it, he will fulfill it.
Amen.
God works what? All things out to those who believe. God is working right now. Close your eyes and bow your heads. God is working right now. If you're listening online, God is working. All around the world, God is working right now. This moment in each and every person's heart. If you do not know him, now is your time to have the King of Glory start working on your behalf, preparing the way, protecting, bringing provision and blessing your way. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's nothing God doesn't see, and there's nothing that God will not prepare you to understand and walk through. Nothing. He will not leave you an orphan. If there's instrumental music, you can play. Father, I thank you that you're touching hearts, that you're preparing hearts, that you're rearranging, you're shifting. You're doing a supernatural work by the Spirit of God on the inside of people's hearts right now. God is doing heart surgery right now. And each and every person is having a different surgery done. The first one he's doing is a heart transplant. For those that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, he's taking out your heart and giving you a heart of flesh. If you're willing to say yes to him, he'll give you a new heart. You'll become a new creation, one that's never been before in him. If that's you, you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I pray you do so now. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. For those listening that have never asked Jesus into their heart, I pray they do so now. They make time to say yes to Jesus. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. Just say, dear Lord Jesus, come in. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me from the sins of my past, present, and future. Give me a heart of flesh. Lord, I trust you now and receive you as my Lord and my Savior. From this day forward, I'm never the same again. I am your child. I am washed clean. I'm born again, and I'm part of the family of God from this day forward. If you've done that, reach out to us. We love you. We love you. The other heart surgeries the Lord is doing is all dependent on your faith and your trust in him. It'll look different for each person. It'll look different for each person. Thank you, Lord, that you're touching hearts right now. It's between you and God. No one can do it for you. Holy Spirit, do a wonderful work in their life. Submit to God. Resist the lies, resist the temptation, release the desires, and let him come in, fill you with joy and peace. Fill you with joy and peace. Everyone here, just lift their hands to heaven, right where you are. God's Spirit is here and is working. He knows what you have need of. Your hands are lightning rods for God's power to come, transform the situation. He hears your cry. He hears your heart. He even knows your lack of understanding. He knows your limits, your weaknesses. And he says, I am here and I love you. Here I am. Here I am. Just receive him. There it is. There it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't need all the answers. You don't need to figure it all out. All you need to do is receive him for healing and revelation and understanding in the areas that you have need of. That's it. You're not trying to work it out. You're not trying to figure it out. It's not in your intellect. It's not in your understanding. It's not in the realm of the senses. It's your heart with God and God with your heart. That's it. Thank you, Lord, for the breakthrough. Eyes to see, ears to hear. If God's speaking to you very strongly right now, I want you to come forward in an action of faith. If God's speaking to you in a situation, hallelujah. You came believing and God's speaking into something. I want to be in agreement with you. And I want to lay hands on you to stir up the gift of faith on the inside of you and agree with you together that you're going to see a tremendous shift in the coming weeks. I feel that in my spirit. A tremendous shift in the coming weeks. A tremendous shift in the coming weeks. Glory to God. If that's speaking to your spirit, that you're desiring things, you're working through things, you don't have all the answers, you don't have all the knowing, but you know there's something that God is doing. Hallelujah. He's turning it around. He's shifting it. It's going to look different than what you think. That's what he's giving me. It's going to look different than what you think. You plan the way God directs the steps. It's going to look different. And as I lay hands on you, you're going to receive an impartation. Just receive it and do exactly what he tells you to do. What he drops in your spirit, because you've done everything, you've set everything aside, you've stepped out in faith, and you're trusting to hear his voice. Hallelujah. There's no other voices speaking. I rebuke the devourer right now in Jesus' name. I shut up the enemy's lies right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, receive. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's different than you ever thought possible. It's out of the realms of the intellect. It's a divine download from heaven. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord, in Jesus' name. We shut down the lies of the enemy. And life-giving power. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Awesome God. God, you're an awesome God. In Jesus' mighty name. More of your glory. More of your power. More of your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A new realm of the glory of God. A fresh anointing. Yes. Yes. There's been voices. Some have been very, very good. But there's a voice. In the wilderness, saying, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. That passes all understanding, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Never the same. I see it. There's levels, there's steps. And the way to climb the steps, the way to increase levels is to surrender. The greatest way for increase is your greatest surrender. Remember that. Your greatest increase comes at your greatest surrender. Your greatest sacrifice brings your greatest blessing. Hallelujah. Do you know what great faith is? Understanding authority. The greatest faith to walk in is when you understand authority. You're wondering what I'm doing. I'm looking up a scripture. Say, why are you taking so long? Because I haven't found it yet. There's no hurry. It's okay. Matthew 8, it says, now when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. That's authority. But only speak a word and my servant will be healed. That's authority. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you believe, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Great faith comes with understanding authority. Father, I thank you for each and every person here today, Lord God. I thank you for those listening online. And Lord, I thank you in advance that the word went forth and was sown into good ground. And Lord, I thank you for a supernatural increase in understanding of authority. To walk in realms they've never walked in before, Lord. Hallelujah. To part seas, Lord. To make it through the fiery furnace, Lord. To walk on water. Realms that the world does not understand. But men and women of God do the impossible. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Healing. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this day that has marked your people in a new way. I give you all the glory, the praise, and the honor for it. Let this day be a special day of new authority in Christ. To do what you could not do before. And Father, I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, don't touch those standing or laying up front. If you need prayer, you can come up. If you've had prayer and you need more, you can come for more. Other than that, be blessed. Have a great day. And we'll see you tonight. God bless you.